everybody, and thank you for the show. I'm your host, Roger Tumineri. Thank you so much for joining us. I am very excited to be here, to be recording again. It's been a while since our last podcast series, and a lot of things have changed since then. Monumental things for our country, for our world. Support Local went from having sort of a focus on communities and neighborhoods and sort of smaller mom and pop shops. And then very recently, the term Support Local, in my opinion, is now synonymous with supporting Canada and Canadian businesses. So now the aim of the Support Local podcast is to connect with and interview entrepreneurs, business leaders, and politicians from all across Canada to get their insights and opinions on what's happening in the world today and what's affecting Canada directly. I'm very pleased to have our guest on the show, my old friend, Tom Krall, AKA Nature Chef. Tom, how are you? Welcome.
Hi, welcome, Roger. It's been a while.
It's been a while. And for our viewers, you should know that Tom and I have known each other for quite some time. I'd venture to say probably from the early 2000s. I was living on Queen Street West across from Trinity Bellwoods Park. It was my first foray into magazine publishing. I was printing a magazine called Our Neighborhood for West Queen West. And Tom and his family ran the very famous Prague Deli just down the road at Queen and Bathurst. So we became fast friends, and he and I have worked together quite a lot in print. So it's great to reconnect with you, man, over podcasts. Maybe you could tell our viewers a little bit about you, where you've been, and where you are now.
All right. Where am I now? Yeah, good question.
Because you're not in Toronto now, right?
So. Not in Toronto, man. No, the fall of the wild, right? And it just brought me to the west as far as you could go on Vancouver Island. It's interesting where you go, and you just like trust the flow, and that's where you need to go. So it's a beautiful place, yeah, especially when it comes to foraging and, you know, just living from the land. You know, the infrastructure of nature is still intact here. You know, we've got some old growth rainforests, we've got the coast, you know, and just like, you know, not everything's skyscrapers and parking lots. So,
yeah. You know, so you've quite literally gone from living on like Queen Street West, like you guys lived above the restaurant, and you worked downtown at restaurants. Like even before that, you were right downtown working. Yeah. You worked under like Chef Suser Lee downtown. So you've gone from like that life, that hustle, that bustle, that pace. Yeah. To the West Coast, but very specifically like Vancouver Island. So
yeah,
how did you find that lifestyle shift initially?
Well, I also, you know, our family has a cottage north of Toronto, which, you know, me there, we saw each other, and you spent up time in Muskoka area, so, you know, I was very fortunate to have my weekends and holidays and spend my summers up there. So like, I wasn't a stranger to nature. Like I had a relationship with the source like from a child, right? And, you know, checks, we like picking mushrooms, we pick mushrooms at the cottage, berries, go camping, catch fish, like, yeah. So it was very like much in my already thing. And Toronto, you know, it's like where you go to school, where you get, you know, you have a job to make money. And, you know, the cottage was like to get away from the hustle bustles, boy. So I was fortunate to have that there, and like more and more nature was like winning my heart. It was like, I want to spend more time at the cottage. Like I want to work at the cottage and not go to the, like, you know, 5 days a week, spend at the cottage, and 2 days go to the city, maybe, like, you know, flip it away around. Yep. Something. So, it was just like, you know, I don't know, over enough time and just, you know, you just get this like moment in business where you just, it's not sustainable. Like you're going to burn out. Like it's a freaking rat race, right? Like it's not like the push of economic growth eventually grinds you down. It's like, what are we doing this for? Like, why? Like, what's the meaning of life? You know, like, does it just to like work, or do we actually like have, you know, a human experience and connect with friends and family and, you know, get outside in the wild and get dirty a bit, right?
Oh, 100%. And, you know, I've experienced that too, leaving Toronto and moving to a place called Flesherton, a town that I had never heard of. Cool. When I mentioned it to people, most people have never heard of it, but it's a great town. And, you know, the people are wonderful. There aren't very many people. I think the population is somewhere between 600 and 700, which is amazing considering I went to a high school with 1600 people in Scarborough. But it's been a real shift, a bit of a culture shock, certainly, but a great experience. So now you're out on Vancouver Island, and what exactly are you doing for work, Tom?
Well, I am the nature chef, so like that's what I'm doing. I'm a private holistic chef. I have, you know, my offerings our dinner experiences, you know, bring, you know, foraged feasts to your home table, like backyard on the beach, like wherever you want, really. I'll show up and prepare a feast. I also offer foraging workshops, you know, let people kind of connect people to nature as stuff that I'm doing as well. So in-person workshops and a lot like community events too. Conscious community out here really appreciates my nourishment because I'm very intentional. So I do like offering like pop-up dinners in conscious spaces and like collaborate with, you know, like healers and, you know, just like next level humans, right? Doing the work. So yeah, that's what I offer, nourishment for people that really truly appreciate, you know, the level of cuisine that I offer, right?
So that's pretty cool, very unique. And in the spirit of like supporting local, I'm guessing like if you're foraging, you're not going far for your food.
No, like you're supporting the local environment too, like as you forage, you're also, you know, having a relationship with the earth and the plants and the mushrooms and like, so it's all, you're shopping local too, and you're like, don't have a damaging impact. You know, a lot of people have an idea like foraging that, oh no, you're taking from nature, but it's like, it's a whole relationship, right? And so we shop local, you know, my nature is my grocery store, you know, and it's my it's my everything, you know, it's my garden, it's my meditation room, yoga space, like whatever, like it's my space. You know, I could just be human, right? So I shop local, literally just going to, you know, to nature, foraging, but also like having, you know, farms nearby that I also support. You know, that's, yeah, so there's like different layers of shopping local. Yeah, it's all local. And then the you know, it supports you back, right? It's this back
yeah.
and forth.
Yeah, I live in a rural community here in Flesherton, so there are farm stores all around us. But food at our local grocery store, the prices are exorbitant. And, you know, a lot of people obviously try to grow their own food. It sounds like you're growing a lot of your own food. But a lot of our listeners are listening from cities, right? So like they're coming at this from a totally different perspective. What are your thoughts, Tom? Because like the sort of emphasis or driving force behind this podcast is to focus on current events through the lens of, you know, entrepreneurs and business leaders and politicians and yourself as an entrepreneur. Like, what are your takes on what's going on right now?
Well, we're just need to get back on track to source, right? We just like stay a human here, connect with the earth. Like, that's, you know, the more off path we get, the more issues come up. So it's like, okay, no, let's get back to the source, right? Like, that's where I'm like, it's like, really, it's like truth of like what nature and the our creator connected created, and we need to connect back to that, right? So
do you think what's happening is getting us closer to that source, or is it pushing us further away?
I'm like, we've got a choice. Like, what's the choice do you want? Or do you want to continue down, you know, tech, like AI, and like, you know, that we become, you know, cyborg type, you know, it's like we're gonna be totally engineered, like the human internet, and you know, the all the what the technology is gonna be like, they could completely hack our bodies, and like, so it's, we have a choice. Like, do we go down that path? And you know, people might do that, and they like, hey, whatever, they want to do that, go ahead, you get a chip, go ahead, like, but not for me. Like, I'm gonna stay human, and that's what I'm like, where I'm at, like, I just feel is like truth to me. I trust my body. It's been here on this planet millions of years, you know, like all this new stuff, it's unpredictable. I don't know, it's like I can't even trust my phone. Like, I get like ads, I got hacked the other week on Instagram. Like, there's this wild tech world, like you can't trust it. Like, I, you know, even with good intentions, there's something out there, you know, or yeah, devices, well, crash. Like, so
I'd be lying if I said I didn't sometimes long for a simpler life. You know, we've got so much tech, I think it's almost intrusive, and we could stand to go back in time a little bit, I think, you know, if only on weekends, but you know, the ability to unplug and maybe live a life a little bit more connected to nature, you know, perhaps what you're doing. And I mean, you're very much on one end of the spectrum. That's why I was really excited to talk to you today, because like, you're the localist of the local, if I could coin it.
Right.
Right. Like, you're like maximum local. And yeah, just like, by virtue of what you do,
can, you know, like there's a balance to all things. I have a phone, like I don't like completely like off grid, like, you know, like it's if you really want to go there, you'd be like eating like a goat, right? So right. There's a balance, and I think what I'm saying, it's like, keep it external. You could turn it off and like disconnect and get grounded again, like just eat nourishing foods, like cook for yourself. Yeah. Because I still like have clothes, like I still like, I gotta get olive oil too, like there's this like basic, you know, but like keep simple, don't like process foods or anything, just like eat whole foods, good foods from source, like, right, nothing engineered, right. Nothing like extra process, no big food companies getting involved with your body. Like, that's kind of like where and eat local, like eat wild is the, for me, it's the next level of just enriching, right, your diet with nature, right? It's like another level. You can go to a health food store, which is great, you know, which I do, you know, you could get something, you know, some cacao beans and goji berries, like ashwagandha, you know, you could get some herbs, but like another level of nutrition is just eat wild, eat like the weeds on your lawns, like even if you're in the city, you could always find like some nature dandelions cracking through concrete, you know, like pine trees all around, coniferous trees. You could still like make tea from trees and use it for seasoning, make ice cream from the trees, like, you know, maple sap flows, right? And well, maple blossoms from the tree you could eat as well. So it's, you enrich your diet and you inoculate your gut, right? You really become like the part of your environment, and you have this like relationship, and it becomes like true empowerment when you start eating like that and having that interaction with your neighborhood, right?
Yeah, well, it's fascinating because, you know, there's an argument that would suggest that, you know, if we're under extreme tariffs or in a trade war, we're going to have to become more self-reliant. And it sounds to me like what you're talking about is all about building self-reliance at a, like, a societal level, you know, even understanding where to get nourishment from us, like within a city.
Yeah. Yeah. And with all these, like, fear of, oh no, export, or like, I don't even know what that's, everything that's going on with the tariffs and all that.
It's hard to keep up. Yeah. Just, 25% on steel, like, and aluminum coming soon.
Okay. So it's gonna, like, yeah, affect our daily lives that we depend on consuming, right? Our consumer good. But maybe it's like, all, what, I can't wait. If there's like a dark thing happening, there's a light to it. Like, there's always something, like, it teaches, like, hey, maybe we gotta stick local, like, don't buy aluminum from somewhere else, or what, like, let's, yeah, just live simpler, you know, let's, you know, less consumerization, like, and just, you know, less moving of products around the world. Like, we could literally just sustain ourselves, like, you know, as much as we can, you know, we work together, like, you do something, I do something, we trade, like, it's totally possible. Like, natives, they did it, like, they've lived off the land, like, much population right now on Vancouver Island, they live, like, millions of natives lived on the island, and they sustained themselves because they had, you know, resources that were intact, that were healthy, and they also did trade with other tribes, like, it was a thing too. So sustain, like, have resources that renew themselves, sustain, you know, you could even look at it like hemp, you know, like, being like a sustainable product, we could make hemp bricks, you know, from, you know, instead of aluminum or whatever, you know, we could have a lot that we could produce, like, our own locally, yeah, right?
Well, it's amazing when you start to think of, like, how we would adapt potentially if put in that position. And I suppose the people who make the big decisions are open to all ideas. And, you know, it's interesting to have, like, a program like this and a conversation like this where you just sort of start mentioning ideas. I think it's a wonderful starting point, because it's sad and a little bit odd to say, like, we might have to start considering the types of things that we need to do to become, you know, more self-sufficient, looking at ways to save money everywhere across the board, but certainly make sure that our food supply is secure. And like you said earlier, you know, as locally sourced as possible. Tom, where do you see things going? You know, if we are able to, like you say, figure out a way to kind of sustain ourselves and thrive more locally, what does that start to look like as you expand that across Canada?
Right. I think just, like, there's so many ways that it could go, and there's no, like, messing it up. Like, the way that God made it is just, like, we can't mess up. Like, we could make it harder for ourselves, and we could, you know, really suffer, but in the end, like, it transforms and alchemizes and it renews ourselves. Like, it's this old paradigm's dying, and, like, we're trying to, like, grasp onto power. So it's, we're transforming the species, like, rediscovery and also re-empowerment, because it's been a corrupt system for so long. So it needs to die. This old world needs to let go, and something new will come. So this is it, like, as much as I kind of, oh, like, all these things, like, doom and gloom could happen, but in the end, like, it's going to transform us into a better place. Like, we're going to learn from the mistakes. We're going to take back the power. The kids now are, like, waking up. It's a great awakening. We're, like, connecting back to source and our like, origins. And, like, I think it's all got to go, man. Like, it's, like, this old paradigm, we got to, like, burn it. And for me, privatization is the way to do it.
This is great to hear. You know, I kind of figured that this podcast would have a bit of a conservative bend to it. And that's just from sort of how I see the world. But to hear you say privatization is fascinating. So what role do you think governments will play?
The governments, if we don't participate in the government system, it all collapses. It doesn't exist. It only exists because we give it the power, right? We participate in it, and that's why it exists. So if we can actually like not participate and like reconnect, and then the law, like you read the law, it's actually all in working with the law, knowing the law, and you can like keep things private, and they could do whatever they want on, like, no, think this is a private thing. You can't, I'm a human being on this earth. You don't own me. Like you say that you do, right? So this is the part of the awakening is like, hey, we don't actually need a government system. Like we could govern ourselves. Like all the tax money that gets drained down the sink and, you know, corrupted, like it's bound to get corrupted because it's just like so much money and power and these old lineages that are just holding on to the power. And like there's a shift here, and privatization, like PMAs, private member associations, is something that like I'm really, really motivated to spread to other people. And like, hey, the way you do business, like when I was working, you know, I had the restaurant, the Prog Deli, like, you know, owned it for 7 years. Like it was a family generation, three generation business. Anyways, and I just like, is this the way like do business? There's gotta be a better way. Like, you know, and like, I always felt to be like working for myself. Like I didn't want to work for the man. Like it just doesn't feel good for me. I don't want to like sell myself, right? I just like want to work for myself. Like, so I've been always like on this quest, and that's why I was like, I'm just going to be a private chef. Like I'm just going to be, you know, no restaurant, I'm the big, you know, big commercial space. Like I've had this huge overhead, you know, having this like burden of like, you know, to pay all your bills by the end of the day, the month, like, you know, this, and then you know, the whole system, you got to produce more, right? Because you have this overhead, you got to have like more volume and like more employees and, you know, all this. And by the end of the day, like, oh, what am I? So I just had like epiphany. I was like, there's gotta be a better way to like do business. Like, I just like wanted, like, I want to cook. I want to serve it to people in their homes. Like, that's the way I do it, like private, like one-on-one, and I don't need a whole like fancy commercial. Like I just cook out of people's homes, right? I have a beautiful kitchen too, and I cook outside, nature, on fire. Like you can't, you know, with the health authority of like, oh, where's the stainless steel counters in the nature? Like I'm cooking on moss, like, really.
Right, it's all right, so like, regulations would come into play, I suppose.
Regulations, but, you know, they come knocking on the door. You got to have this to code. You got to have that to code. And da-da-da-da-da. Even just building a house. You can't just build a house. Like, it needs to be the right. Right? But if you know the law, it's like, hey, is this private? I own this land. And there's, like, document. Like, you have your legal writings of who you are, your principles, and, you know, and waivers, you know, your clients sign an agreement. This is like a agreement, like one person to another person having exchange of energy, right? And so it's just gets rid of all that. And so that's kind of like, so PMAs, it's a huge thing that I'm
I need to look into this PMA thing. I think it looks interesting. So what does it stand for again?
Private member association.
Private member associations. Yeah.
Did you know the liberal government is actually a private member? It's a PMA and the Hell's Angels.
I did not know that. Neither of those things.
Yeah. And no. That's why they can do whatever they want.
Interesting.
Yeah. So
interesting. So you feel like that's, yeah,
who you should have on the podcast so I could connect you to. But there's people all around the world, especially in America and Canada. Just, and it's all just gaining the power back. And like, we've
gaining the power back from whom?
So a lot of power gets externalized. Like, we give it to, you know, say health care. Like, you know, we go to the doctor, what's wrong with me? And it's like, your actually body knows what's going on. So you could do like muscle testing or work with other people that actually could like read your body. Like, it doesn't have to go through this whole system, right? I'm like, you cut an arm off, like, you know, that's like healthcare. But if you're like, you know, ill is something like of your health, like what? So there's a lot of, you know, alternative, healthy, hey, change your diet. Don't drink your, like, whatever you're eating, you know, process something. It's like, change your diet, right? Get rid of stress. So, if that's just, so it's we're taking the power back of like how we raise our children, like even just birthing children, like, hey, you don't have to get them all like in the system, like having them certified. And we're actually in a part of the monarch system. Like, we are, Canada is under the monarch of the royal family, right? We, that's all the... We're like a corporate number. Like, you could look it up, man. We are of a whole, like, we're traded on the stock market. We have value. You've got value. They use us like since day one, once you're registered in the system. And that's, so it's like freeing yourself that you could remove yourself, and it's reclaiming the power. And then it's back power back to the people, right? Power to the people, right?
So would you then sort of imagine multiple power centers across the country where like smaller groups of people kind of govern themselves in certain regions?
Yeah, it would be more organic, you know. It's like, I don't have all the answers of how it's gonna go, and like, I just, it's that this whole monarch system needs to go, and we need like Canada under this false, like, it's the land native, like, it just, they came to the land and like, hey, we are like taking this land and making the, and now like treaties were signed with the natives, so like indigenous people would be great to like actually work with, because they have more power than the government, like indigenous law. And And they understand that we could actually become indigenous to the land again. Like, hey, let's work together, manage resources that are actually sustainable, right? And that actually not this corrupt system where it's just depleting resources, which is what we're seeing now, and like pollution, and, you know, like,
right,
they pollute the waters because they don't even live there. They don't even like the fishing regulations, like they make decisions in the office. They don't even in the ocean. They don't live where the resources, they trade trees on the stock market. They like the whole, like the big corporations have taken from the locals, right? Like, just in forestry industry alone, with like the way that the forestry industry works, is just, is taken all, like, there's no more like mom and pops like mill, right? It's like these big machines come in, like guys, just like, you have a few guys working like machines and raking profits, and big barges of trees get shipped to China, and they're made into shit stuff that we buy back, like, so.
So you would see all of those processes privatized?
As much as possible. Yeah. Garbage collection, like recycling. Yeah, it can all be privatized. Like, the government doesn't need to pave roads or collect your garbage. Like, healthcare system doesn't need to exist. Like, it all could be privatized.
Right. So
even schooling, like, get the kids out of the public, the school system that is just programming the kids into become consumers. Like let's raise our own children again, right? At least like in our neighborhood with our other parents that, you know, like that's my partner. She's very passionate about children and, you know, and she's homeschooling her child. And yeah, it's really motivating and inspiring to see like other people doing it. So I'm, you know, I'm a chef and this is what I'm doing, but I could see it rippling. I don't know. Like it's a quite revolution happening. Right.
Do a lot of the kids in your area get homeschooled?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah. Especially since COVID. Okay. A lot of parents put them out of schools and put them in. There's tons of like nature schools. Like every child has like a couple.
There's a few out here near me.
You could just all the document. Like you could go on, you know, the public school system. You get your money that they give you to go to put your kids to school. You could get that money back, right? Like to raise your teach the kid that you want, right? And so you could use, there's so many like instructors, like teachers out there, like they out of their home, like they come for a day, they have a field trip, they learn, like I do that too, like I have some of the kids come, I teach them about like foraging and start fire, right? So it's a huge movement, and the you can see it in the kids like are way more empowered, and they know what plants are around, and you know, and they don't betray each other, they don't fight, like they're actually like the kids are like more connected with each other, like they're so well bonded. Yeah, it's very healthy environment, you know, for them to be outside instead of like a concrete block, you know, infrastructure, and you go like, you know, Monday to Friday you go to the school system, and so it's just like it's beautiful just to be in your own space, and oh yeah, okay, what do you want to learn today? Okay. Oh, like because then they're empowered to learn what they want to learn, right?
Yeah, that is quite interesting. It begs the question, like if you move towards privatizing education, if that's what you're saying, like what ultimately happens to all the teachers?
Well, they could work for themselves. Like the teachers,
they would become entrepreneurs. Yeah.
They could
teach online.
Yeah. When you age, the wisdom is valuable, right? This is the age of wisdom, the value on wisdom, because AI is going to replace all animated or automated, anything that can be automated, it can. It will be in the next 5 years. So
it's unbelievable the impact that that's going to have on the labor force. Yeah, it's repetitive tasks, rules-based tasks, predictable tasks. Right. They're all going to be automated.
Maybe we don't need those jobs. Like, you know, people don't maybe like want to like sit there all day like doing something mindless. Maybe something they're really passionate about and they really care, something that really lights them up, opens up their heart, and they want to do it, and like, hey, I want to do this finally, I've been working this dead ass job, and
there's so many ways to make money now because of AI. Yeah.
Right. That's, so it's the wisdom. Like you got stuff to share. Like that's very wise for someone that, because you can't trust everything online. Like guys, like you can't trust, like I could trust you. Like I know you had your experience and you like there. And so that's got value, right?
Yeah. I think ultimately you're talking about, you know, relationships, right? And like relationships with people, you know, whom you're closest with within your community as well, and just kind of working together. I mean, ultimately, no one really knows what's going to happen. We're thrown into a position where we're trying to wonder what could possibly happen. And every day something new happens that most people, even who follow politics closely, have not predicted. Every day is a new day and a new challenge, it seems. And it's you know, I think it's great to have you on the show, Tom, and I thank you very much for your perspective. I reserve the right to invite you back because I think it'd be great to have you on again to talk about things, because it seems like we talked a bit about this off the top. Hey, what's that?
Well, I could see this, yeah, become a regular thing.
Get on the, yeah, yeah, no, I mean, it's so cool, right? Because you got a super sort of different outlook on life than I do, than certainly maybe a lot of our audience. You and I are also sort of separated geographically. Like, I'm in Flesherton, Ontario. You're on Vancouver Island in BC. And it's great to have sort of, you know, your insight and your opinion on these things, because I would venture to say it's going to be very different than a lot of our other guests. That's for sure. But there might be some similarities.
Work together, you know, it's all supporting, like local could look like this. Like, you're in Ontario, I'm in British Columbia. Like, we could still work together. It's building like a network, right? If we work together, we're stronger, right? Like, we're stronger in relationship, and the strength in numbers, right? And that's the power that we have. Like, if we come together and work, if we continue to give it externally, they continue to control us. Like,
yeah, no, that's an interesting thought. And yeah, it's been great talking to you and hearing your insight, Tom, and I'm sure we'll have you back on the show, hopefully in short order. As I said, I think things are just changing and shifting so quickly. It'd be interesting to have you on kind of on a regular basis to get your input. But thanks for joining us, Tom.
And it's nature. Like, we need to stay in relationship with nature, like, stay human. Like, you could use the tech, but like, just, you know, turn it off to ground. Yeah. And then manage your environment, like, manage your resources around you. Even in the city, you could still do that. There's plants that grow everywhere, right?
Yeah. And you said, like, nature is my grocery store. Like, we need to talk more about that in another episode. I think that'd be awesome if you could help our audience try to understand and look at nature differently, to see, you know, what types of things that they could use to benefit themselves, whether it's, you know, for nourishment or for medicinal purposes. So, very cool, man. I appreciate your time, Tom. It's been awesome having you on.
Yeah, thank
you so much. And we'll certainly have you back on for sure.
Yeah, this is just the beginning, because, like, yeah, I think we just started to open up, and I really want to get, like, help people out. You know, just how we live our lives. Like, even if you have a business that has a roof and walls, you could bring the nature in, the way you landscape, right? Like, the way you build, it could be all with nature, right?
Interesting. And to that point, nature chef Tom Krall. You can find out more about Tom and what he does out on Vancouver Island at naturechef.ca. Thanks again, Tom, and hope to see everybody soon. Thanks again, and we'll see you next time.
Deep gratitude, Rob.